Hello, welcome to The Debate. I'm Kobe Tafwe. South Africa's Jacob Zuma seems to have nine lives. He has endured some close calls with corruption, but it looks like his time may be up. That's a big if at this point. His successor, Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa, is reported to negotiate a deal with the president in exchange for his resignation. Well, in this debate, we will look at Zuma's legacy, his highs and lows, the economic damage that he may have caused, and the future of the South Africa and the ANC party. First, let's bring in Hassan Serio, correspondent, who joins us from Cape Town to give us the latest on that. So, where do we stand here? At this point, nothing is really known yet about whether there's a countdown to Zuma's departure or not.
Indeed, good evening, Kobe. The situation that we've had is the ANC top structure has been locked in meetings for over 6 hours now. Some cars were seen about 2 hours ago leaving that venue, but there's still no indication from the party on the outcomes of those deliberations. Of course, the reality is that this situation started developing sometime after the election of the new president of the ruling party, Mr. Cyril Ramaphosa, in December of last year. But last week and Tuesday, things became serious and they started to look like Jacob Zuma's days were numbered when Parliament, as well as the ANC, announced that President Jacob Zuma's State of the Nation address, which should have opened Parliament, was cancelled. It was cancelled and they said it would take place at a later date. It was then indicated that the National Executive Committee of the ANC would be sitting down as well, and that's the meeting that is, of course, taking place today. But what we've also seen, Kave, is opposition parties making the best use of this opportunity with this push within the ANC now to get rid of Jacob Zuma as the president of South Africa. What they have been calling for is a vote of no confidence. Now, there is one that's scheduled for the 22nd of February. However, what these parties have now done is thrown down the gauntlet. They have called on the Speaker of Parliament to actually have that announce a motion of no confidence discussion or debate within Parliament for tomorrow. They're saying that if the Parliament Speaker does not accede to this request, they will then go to the courts and force or seek to force the Parliament to hold that vote by the end of the week. Indeed, all of these indications are pointing to the possible exit of President Jacob Zuma. The indications from within the ruling party, the ANC, is that there is an appetite for the president to go. He's now seen as a liability as the country goes to elections in 2019. Over and beyond that, the opposition parties, with their threat, is they are calling for the dissolution of parliament. That would then take South Africa to an early vote and hopefully for a new president to be elected into power. As is tradition with the ANC, the leader of the party would be put forward as its candidate for the presidency, which in this case would be Mr. Cyril Ramaphosa. Of course, the indications from Jacob Zuma's side is that he still believes that he's loved by the people. He no doubt is somebody that is street smart. He is somebody that gets along well with people on the streets. We've seen this from him over the years, despite all of the allegations against him. Jacob Zuma is able to go into a township and win over the people. So he still has that belief that he does have this sort of support. Within the ANC, we've seen some individuals who were considered to be supporters of Jacob Zuma now sort of recalculating and trying to look out for their own political interests. But this is a big test for Cyril Ramaphosa, of course, as well, Kave, considering that he came into office in December of last year. He is now dealing with two very strong factions, one which supports him, one which supports Jacob Zuma. And he now has on his hands a battle of maintaining the unity of the party as well. So there are demands from his side for Jacob Zuma to be taken out, from Jacob Zuma supporters that Jacob Zuma should be staying in office. And depending on the outcome that we're going to see from this NEC executive, that could have repercussions for the party as well, over and beyond just South Africa. Kave.
Very good. Thank you for that. President Hassan Serio there talking to us from Cape Town. Let's introduce our guests for this edition of The Debate. We have editor of the Pan-African Newswire, Abiyomi Ezekiewicz, who joins us from Detroit. And from New York, we have lecturer at Medgar Evers College, Dr. Jahi Issa, who joins us from New York. Okay, welcome to you both. Let me start with you, Dr. Jahi Issa. I mean, trying to make out what a correspondent said, and it's really hard to decipher what is really going on, except it appears that Zuma is on his way out. You have the resignation that's somewhat being discussed, or not. What is going on? What's your reading into the state of Zuma at this point?
Well, it really doesn't matter. I mean, Zuma doesn't have to resign according to the Constitution. He can serve out his full term. However, it's going to really hurt the ANC. And so his deputy, Mr. Ramaphosa, is trying to push for him to resign. However, even with that, the Economic Freedom Party, headed by Mr. Malema, Julius Malema, is waging a propaganda war against the ANC, which there's no way that they can win. Real quick, at the last election, the ANC got more than 62% of the vote, which was down previous from their former presidential candidate and, of course, from Nelson Mandela. The last recent poll, they said if people were to vote now, less than 50% of the people would vote for Nelson, would vote for the ANC. So what we are witnessing is the end of the post-apartheid era party, the ANC, which has over 100 years, almost 100 years in African nationalism, being replaced by a younger generation of freedom fighters. So it doesn't matter whether or not Zuma steps down or not. He should. But it looks like South Africa is moving into a new era. I personally believe that that the surprise candidate who will win this election will be the head of the EFF, Mr. Malema. And I think it's going to, they've also formed a coalition with the Democratic Alliance. But I think Mr. Malema will come out on top as the next president in 2019 of South Africa.
Well, you heard our guest there, Dr. Issa Abayuma-Ezekiwe, talking about how it's not so much about Zuma, but it's about the ANC party, of which that era is coming to an end. Do you agree with that, or are we just looking at the head of the party at this point, Zuma, who may be on his way out?
No, I don't see the ANC collapsing as a political party. They still have the overwhelming support of the people of South Africa. They are the party that led the struggle of the African people for decades. They resulted in the first non-racial democratic elections in 1994. The economic freedom fighters in the last elections got about 6% of the vote. The Democratic Alliance got about 22% of the vote. Combined, they only constitute about 28% of the electorate. And it's quite interesting that the economic freedom fighters, which the leadership is composed of individuals who were expelled from the ANC several years ago for insubordination and corruption, are blocking now with the right-wing Democratic Alliance Party, a party whose former leader, Helen Zille, said that the colonial system that Africans had fought against for so many years was not all bad, that it had positive qualities. So these are the political forces that the putative ultra-left EFF are blocking with in South Africa. Now, obviously, there's a power struggle going on inside the ruling party, but this is nothing new. If you look at the previous situation in regard to leadership when Thabo Mbeki was removed at the Polokwane conference in 2007, it led to the recall of Thabo Mbeki as president of South Africa. There was an interim administration, and then in 2009, Jacob Zuma was elected president of South Africa with the largest margin of victory since the end of the apartheid system. He had approximately 66% of the vote, and it has dropped off to 62% in the last national governmental elections, which were held in 2014. And also the local governmental elections in 2016, The ANC, of course, suffered defeats in Johannesburg and in Pretoria, but the only way in which the DA was able to take over the municipalities in those two areas was an alliance with the party of the EFF.
Okay, so let's look at a little bit about that since you brought it up.
I have to disagree with him.
Go ahead.
I will have to disagree with the veteran journalist. And I mean, he's a veteran. I'm a fan of his blog. He's been doing this for a long time, coming out of Detroit. The data that he's using is old data. The recent polls has recently said that if an election was to be held, and this was as of the summer of 2017, if an election was to have been held back then, the ANC would have received less than 50% of the vote. Even the deputy of the ANC, who's now trying to outmaneuver Zuma to push him out to become president, Mr. Ramaphosa, he is the same person who in 2012 authorized the killing of 34 miners working at a platinum mine in which he himself served as the black puppet for the all-wealthy Oppenheimers. And the youth have not forgotten this. Also, another issue that is at play. The Economic Freedom Party has recently recruited the niece of Winnie Mandela into the party. And now the ANC has recently, as of a few days ago, grabbed her house and evicted her. And this is in the media. So the youth want full return of the land from the white minority, full return of the economics, which is being controlled by the ANC puppet regime. They have not lived up to their mandate. They become extremely corrupt, and you're going to see the voice of the youth take over this country. You have student movements at all of the universities, headed by the youth. You have those under the age of 50 who are totally tired of the ANC. The ANC will lose this upcoming election by a landslide, and we will witness one of the youngest African nationalists, the former youth wing of the ANC, emerge as the shining light of Africa.
Okay,
this is needed. This is his birthright, and there's nothing anybody can do to end this.
Before I give it to you, as a Kiwi, before I give it to you, let's look at what those municipal elections had in terms of the votes. The ANC, from what I have over here, they earned 53.9%. It was followed by the Democratic Alliance with 26.9%, and the Economic Freedom Fighters with 8.2%. Our guest there, Dr. Issa, is not that far off.
What year was this? What year are you looking at?
This is the municipal elections that were held just recently, in which the African National Congress lost.
Yeah, when?
The last elections that were held. I believe it was 2017, correct?
That is precisely what I'm saying. You're using old data. You got to look at what's happening now. This is 2 years
2016,
ago.
I'm sorry.
The, 2016. The momentum for the ANC is over with.
Okay, well, Abiyama Ezekiwi,
this is old data, and this is precisely my point.
Okay, do you agree with the fact that we're using old data like I just did? Perhaps it goes against what Dr. Issa is saying, is that it's a new ball game now when it comes to voting and the popular support that ANC doesn't have as opposed to the other party that Dr. Issa mentioned here.
I just cited data from a series of elections that have been held in South Africa. The ANC did not lose the local government elections in 2016. They still got 54%
right
of the overall vote in 2016. That was the last test in terms of the electorate of their popularity inside the country. It was 2-1 over the right-wing Democratic Alliance, which is allied with the Economic Freedom Fighters that are supposed to be so militant, but their alliances are with the former remnants of the National Party. And look at the situation that's going on right now in Cape Town involving the water crisis there. It's the Democratic Alliance that runs the municipality in Cape Town. Patricia DeLille is the mayor there. They're attempting to recall her, the Democratic Alliance, her own party, because people do not have adequate water to drink. I have relatives that work in South Africa. They have strict quotas on taking showers, quotas on watering someone's lawn, or even drinking water. They may even run out of drinking water in a few more months. So these are the people that the economic freedom fighters are allied with in South Africa. The ANC held a national elective conference in December. There were thousands upon thousands of delegates that showed up there. This is open source information. People can look at the YouTube videos of the conference, and you can judge the vibrancy of the leadership and the cadres within the party that attended that conference. So I don't know where these statistics are coming from that the economic freedom fighters are going to win the elections next year. Mr. Ramaphosa has broad support in South Africa because the ANC is the only party that has any program to take South Africa forward. The EFF has no program whatsoever, and they've demonstrated this repeatedly.
Well, let's talk about the economy then, because I'd like to put things in perspective since you brought Dr. Issa, before you begin, put that into perspective for us, because you have what Abiyomi Azikiwe said about the water situation, for example, and you also have, at the other hand, what the ANC, under their watch, the South African economy has developed by some figures, one report indicating more than 50% of the population is poor, with the economy not doing that greatly. So how do things stand in that regard? Dr. Issa.
Well, again, I understand where he's coming from. Yes, I understand where he's coming from. He comes out of an era where the same type of era that we had with Mr. Nelson, the former president of Zimbabwe, Robert Mugabe, right? I'm a bit younger. I'm in my 40s. So I come from a younger generation where we've seen these elder statesmen try their best in trying to bring these new African countries out of colonialism. But what we've seen is a new form of colonialism in which we call neocolonialism. And so Mr. Ramaphosa, there is a serious investigation that is still ongoing on whether or not he played a central role in the killing of these South African miners in 2012. They murdered the police at his disposal because he was a ranking member in the ANC. Although he was a unionist, he had a lot of pull in the ANC. And on behalf of the Oppenheimers, the group of people who really run the country, along with the Indian nationalist Guptas, have stolen the future of the youth of South Africa. And so he's not dealing with this issue. And if you look at what has recently, what was recently announced a few weeks ago, they're saying that if an election took place today, the ANC will get less than 40% of the electoral votes. There's no way that they can win. An alliance with the Democratic Alliance, the Economic Freedom Party, and those other smaller parties are going to overwhelm the ANC. And I'm telling you, because of the youth, this is a youth-ran movement. Those under the age of 50, but particularly between the ages of 18 and 35, they are pushing the momentum for who will become the next president of South Africa. They don't want people who are in bed with the Indian Nationals Guptas. They don't want people who are in bed with the Oppenheimers and the De Beers. They want people who are for the people of South Africa. It belongs to the people of South Africa. It belongs to Africans and not the Indian minority and the white minority.
Okay,
and this is where I think he's wrong. He's not looking at the future.
Abiyoye Azikiwe, if we're looking at Zuma to be on his way out and elections were to be held, do you think that the scenario that our guest in New York there is saying is something that is a possibility? Or you still think that, I believe what you have said is that the ANC still has popular support amongst South Africans?
Yes, obviously they do. And I don't know where these figures come from. I've heard 50%, I've heard 40%. Where is the DA going to take South Africa? Further to the right. They are not socialists, they're not revolutionary nationalists, they are not anti-imperialists at all. The leader of the party, as I mentioned before,
but neither is the ANC anymore.
Had virtual. I'm saying that these figures have no basis in reality. The economic crisis in South Africa cannot be separated from the overall crisis in Africa and indeed internationally. Kwame Nkrumah wrote the book Neocolonialism in 1965. This is nothing new. This is over 51 years ago that book was published, which outlined the contemporary crisis of post-colonial Africa. So you cannot separate the economic crisis in South Africa or in Southern Africa from the rest of the continent or the rest of the world. International finance capital is the principal enemy of the people in South Africa. It is not Jacob Zuma. It is not the African National Congress, the liberation movement turned ruling party. That is the reality that we're dealing with. If you look at the decline in oil prices, energy prices, commodity prices over the last 3 to 4 years, this has had a devastating impact in all of the emerging economies, whether we're talking about Venezuela, whether we're talking about Iran, the Federal Republic of Nigeria, and South Africa is included in that process as well. The enemy of the African masses are not themselves, not their liberation movements,
right,
but international finance capital. That is the principal enemy that people are facing internationally.
Thank you. Unfortunately, we have to end it there.
True.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. Sorry about that.
Let me
thank our.
Is the head
we're just fresh
wing
out of time. Sorry. President Sassin Seria spoke to us in the beginning of the program. Editor of Pan African Newswire, just listening to him, Abiyoye Azikiwe. And thank you, lecturer at Medgar Evers College, Dr. Jahi Issa, who spoke to us from New York. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikova Tawai, entire team in the capital of Tehran, is goodbye.